You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. In the first segment, oh my God, we talked to David Copeland Smith, and we also talked a little coronavirus. Not at the same time. He doesn't have it.
Exactly.
We talk about it.
We don't want to disclose anything.
Also, we leave America and become members of the People's Republic of China.
Okay, look, we're just trying to get in China's good graces. Yes. David Copeland Smith of Beast Mode Soccer. So make sure we say that as well. And in the second segment, we are joined by two guests as well.
We're
talking to Paul Tenorio of The Athletic. We get in the weeds of CBA.
we're
on weed as we're talking about the
only way to understand it, dude.
And we're also joined by Mike McGee, MLS veteran, absolute MVP, MLS Cup winner with the LA Galaxy.
In the studio, and he brought his booze.
Every guest should be on notice going forward. So all this and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, I'm Mike McGee, owner of Sneaky Fox Vodka, and you are listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Woo! There it is. Come on. I can drum a little bit.
Yeah.
So people don't know. I'm not just smacking my thigh all day.
He started with spoons. And then he's working his way up.
Like I'm sitting on a porch in Georgia.
Yeah.
No, it's.
You know, one day when we first started doing the podcast, Christian's like, you know, I'm a pretty good drummer. And I'm like, oh, how'd you learn in school? And you said, no, the game Rock Band.
You know it.
And I was like, you can't drum.
I'm an avid drummer. Yeah, I'm actually pretty good.
Yeah. Questlove is like, you know how to play the song. Yeah, could you just tell me, do I hit X or O first? Which one do I tippy-tap?
That's how musical geniuses communicate with each other.
Okay.
Hello,
of course,
everyone.
I know how to read music. Up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever witnessed.
We're not just that.
Okay, we're also rabid. Yeah, I think.
That's right, dog. I got an infection, dude. We're also the Gullions.
That's right. And yes, this show is going to be another one of those examples of Gully.
Yeah, yes, it is.
A lot going on. I mean, the Super Bowl just happened. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wonderful that secondary competition has such a big tournament, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
It ain't no CONCACAF champion.
Finally, people paying attention to that. Yeah. Pee-wee football,
yeah,
I think?
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
It's wonderful that all those people with concussions could go out there for four quarters.
And recognize each other.
Who are you? Where am I?
Yes, that's why we should be trashing football.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it works.
That's right.
That's why this show exists.
Yeah,
they built all this for that, exact for that joke.
Just for this bit.
So, yes. A lot to talk about. Soccer,
it was actually
Super
a really
Bowl.
Fun
yeah,
it, Super Bowl. Did
it was,
you watch it?
I did watch it. Yeah. It was fun. And I come back from Kansas City Chiefs. Who cares? Anyway, we have too much stuff to get to focus on the National Football League.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I mean, we show love to the people who show love to us.
That is correct. All right. If you're listening to this podcast, and some people choose to ingest this in podcast form.
Right. People are like, I see them on TV, but I only want to listen to it in my ears, dog. And I don't want to walk around with both these eye patches because I keep banging into stuff in my apartment. So I'm just going to do the podcast.
That's fair.
I don't want to see what they look like.
And so occasionally people leave us reviews on iTunes.
What? Before you saw what we look like, why don't you leave a review of what you thought we looked like from our voices? And please be easy because I listen.
It could be like a weird dating game. Kind of show.
What was that show they used to do back in the day? The blind date?
Blind date? Was it called blind date?
No, it wasn't. It was like where you could, the dating game.
Was it just called the dating game? Yeah, okay.
All right, well, look at us. All right. We were raised by televisions. But so this one is from Jazz Trumpet 439, which sounds like a sexual move. I'm not going to lie. I have a feeling
this is a fellow musician. Please show some respect.
Yeah. Right, he's charging for his PlayStation. The title is Pizza, Comedy, and a Little Bit of Soccer. All right, Jazz Trumpet. You know us. This podcast could be in so many different categories. Is it a better food show than anything on the Food Network? Funnier than on Comedy Central? More educational than your average textbook? They don't teach Gully in school these days, kids. And they also mention soccer on occasion. P.S. To my favorite supporters of Arsenal, Chelsea, and NYCFC, I have but one parting message. Oh, no. Did he jump off the side of a boat? His parting message is, you'll never walk alone and unite and conquer. So I guess that means he's a Liverpool fan or Celtic fan. That's right, because you're not the only ones who sing that.
Okay.
And unite and conquer Atlanta United.
Yes, but the only issue there was the Chelsea. Neither of us are Chelsea fans.
No,
I think
you're an Everton fan.
So I think
he got confused.
He got confused, okay. Yeah. Obviously, it take away the entire review. Take it down. Yeah.
None of this matters.
One error.
Just keep the word pizza up there. People will figure it out. But of course, that was 5 stars. And what happens when it's not 5 stars? What happens?
We don't even talk about
you. We hit reporter concern, okay? Because we're concerned for you.
Because we can't stand this hate speech.
You know what I mean? Wait, constructive criticism. All I heard was criticism. And I don't like it. And no one ever worked construction. Why are you asking, dog?
So thank you for that. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you are so inclined. So let's get
shouts to you, Rusty Jazz Trump. I mean, Jazz Trumpet.
that's trombone. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, it's a different class.
I get my instruments confused.
Anyway, we got some.
Look at this. Is gifts. This our first international package?
I think so.
Canada, baby. That counts.
Very wildly international from very far, from the far.
Remember when Britney Spears was like, I love playing shows overseas, like in Canada. And I was like, leave her alone. We all make those mistakes.
So this is, it says it right on the packaging, from Atlantic City FC.
Shout out
to Atlantic City. We met the owner of the team in Baltimore at the United States Soccer Coaches Convention.
It's the only professional soccer team where you can put your season tickets on red or black and you get two or none. Go ahead, I dare you.
Okay, it's a gamble.
Yeah, you already gambled what you like being in Atlantic City.
All right, look at this. We got...
No.
We got some stickers. Let's go. Some hats. Two hats is one for you.
Look at this beautiful beanie.
Atlantic City hat.
What do you call these?
A beanie.
There's another term. Do you ever hear the term gubellini? Google you ever heard of that one?
I've never heard that.
It must just be a Nork thing.
Okay.
A Scully. Also Scully. You've heard Scully.
I've heard Scully, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Gubellini sounds like the guy who cuts your meats.
Gubellini. I own $50. If he comes here, tell him I'm in Mexico.
Thank you. Look at this. We got a scarf from Atlantic City. This is dope. Appreciate it. And then the other side.
I thought it said appreciate it.
It says prosciutto on it. Hey.
That's the Caucus FC. Look at this one. This is, I can't see where this is from. Yo, this is from the Canadian Premier League, dude.
Whoa.
Yo, York 9. York 9 is just outside of, it's like Toronto.
Okay. It sounds like, a Drake record label.
Bro, we got three. One for you, one for me, one for the couch. Oh, I fell past the couch. Whatever. Oh, no, the gifts don't stop, dude.
Whoa, oh, York 9. Look at this. We got kits.
Medium. We know that's yours. And large. All right. Well,
whoa.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Extra large. Okay. Who's his third? Who's his third hooligan we don't know about?
Yo, look at this. Dope kit. Holy smokes.
That is beautiful.
Wow, Canada, the Canadian.
It says, we are many, we are one. All right, a little contradictory, but sure. I don't get it. It's the sum of all its parts, but also all the parts is dope. Yo, this is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, whatever, man. Watch on TV. I don't want to describe it too much, but it's a
look at that. The Canadian Premier League badge is really cool.
Yeah, this is great.
This is so dope.
Sweet. Thank you so much, York 9.
Also, low key, they got a little Y9 on behind the badge. That's kind of dope.
Feels like what is it? Yves Saint Laurent or whatever?
Yeah. So it's I didn't know Balenciaga made kids.
a little high fashion out in Canada.
All right. York gets it in. Shouts to York FC, dude.
Thank
York
you.
York 9.
Yeah, the Canadian Premier League. This is what, their second season, I think, that they've been playing. Yeah, so there's a lot to look forward to. Speaking of Canadian Premier League, this might be a longer conversation in the future, but Ellie Medjum had that clip that went viral of him talking about why Canada.
It's an anomaly that doesn't do better.
Yeah, it doesn't make it. It hadn't made it to the last, three World Cups?
Yeah. And the guy who runs that podcast was like, oh, yeah, what about this? And Ellie was like, you think I'm not Ellie Medjum right now? He pulled out like tidbits of information. And I'm like, what are you?
So a stack of paper.
Yeah. What are you, a detective? How do you know this much about the Canadian League?
Yeah. So, yeah, you wonder. The Canadian Premier League will hopefully make
Bridge that gap.
The Canadian national team better, right? Because the women are doing fine, right? Yeah. For the most part, they get pretty far. Christine Sinclair, high goal scorer in international football.
It's just history,
unbelievable. Anyway, now that we're done opening our gifts.
That's right.
Let's talk about.
Listen. If anyone's listening or watching, feel free to send us some for next week. We love them, and by we I mean me.
let's focus on another gift that was given to us by the internet.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Instagram. The gift of Meek Mill's IG.
Because you don't really expect to see such a collaboration. Because,
you know, like on Instagram, we follow a lot of soccer people, right?
Yeah.
But of course, we follow our own personal interests.
Yes.
And for me, that's rap, right? Love me some hip hop.
I thought you were talking about food.
No. Yeah. I like raps, paninis. I follow a lot of panini accounts. But I was just scrolling through and I happened to swing past Meek Mill's IG.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, another soccer account. Because who do I see on the right hand, seated at the head of the table? I catch Jay Balvin because he's got the lightning bolts tattooed on his head, right?
Are they tattooed or is that part of his hair?
No, that's tattooed.
Oh, I'm not sure. I could be wrong.
I'm under the impression it's a tattoo. But anyway, he's hard to miss. Right?
Exactly, yeah.
Where are you sitting here talking about whether tattoos are a part of his hair or tattooed on his hair, or the lightning bolts are tattooed or a part of his hair?
We could pick him out of a lineup. Yeah, I promise.
Spot, okay? Colombian, right?
Colombian, yes.
Colombian reggaetonero, rapper, the whole nine, incredible artist, right? And then I see like a white dude I don't know. And then Peyton Manning, and I'm like, well, Peyton, clearly confused, right? He's like, who's this guy speaking Spanish? And why is everyone high-fiving him, right?
Yeah.
Does anyone know I'm here? I do commercials with country music artists, right? Next to him, old white dude. He's probably Googling how to get home, right? And then next to him, the head of Major League Soccer.
Don Garber. Is right at the table with Meek Mill, Jay Balvin, and of course, Don Garber. Right?
Don Garber.
You know, walking to a bar. We've all heard this joke.
Yeah. Meek, Peyton, and Don walking to a bar.
Oh, all this joke in the book.
Yeah. You know, Don was like, is Meek short for anything? Or?
yes. So we saw this, and I mean, in this particular photo, you see Don Garber, like, I don't know what he's looking at, but he's probably looking at somebody else, but like, yo, can you believe I'm here? Yeah,
Don Garber's like, yo, take another picture of me and Meek, yo. I want to show my kids, dude.
So this kind of we didn't know what this meeting was about. Obviously, this is in Miami before the Super Bowl.
And one of our fans said that's the Soho House in Miami.
Yeah. No, that wasn't one of our, I mean, I guess one of our fans, it was Mike McGee.
Right. Hold on a second. It was Mike McGee.
Yes. MLS MVP Mike McGee on our Instagram was like, yo, that's Soho House. I know what's going on.
Yo, my guy. I should have been there. Yeah. That's where Meek and Don Garber meet all the time. Is at the Soho House.
Yeah. So he saw, like, he saw the ambiance. He saw everything. He was like, oh, I know what that is.
I know that salad. Had it plenty of time.
But this is pretty cool, right? Again, it's really just about the fact that, you know, our worlds are colliding in this way. I'm curious, what conversation did Meek Mill and Don Garber have with each other?
And people were like, yo, you know, Don Garber used to be an NFL executive. Yeah. We're not worried about that. We're worried about the fact that he's on Meek Mill's Instagram. Okay.
Okay. And
you know who's not? Rick Ross. And Rick Ross owns his label.
So, I'm curious. Like, what? Because there's so many opportunities. There were rumors of like, yo, is Meek Mill interested in buying the Philadelphia Union?
Or is Don Garber going to drop bars on Meek Mill's next track? It
can happen. All valid questions.
Right? Remember Don Garber? He survived prostate cancer, right? So maybe that was one of his bucket list items. He was like, I'm not going out without dropping bars, dog. Dreams and nightmares too.
Yo, Meek, let me get on that remix.
Yo, dog. I'm a, yo, let me be the D-Boys guy, like from Boys to Men, my dude. I don't even need to say something. Just be like, hey, girl.
Or maybe there's an opportunity to have Meek Mill, like, do the halftime show at MLS Cup.
Do they do halftime
shows? They don't, but I'm saying.
Right? Maybe we start now.
Maybe these are the possible conversations. Why? We have to think big.
Yeah. Peyton, wouldn't that be fun? Peyton? He's just sitting there playing Candy Crush. Who's Meek Mill?
No, this is just amazing. And that's what, like, it's weird because like, for people connected to different parts of this photo. There's right. So many people were like, yo, it's Peyton Manning.
For Latino MLS fans, J Bobby,
obviously.
For hip-hop fans that are also MLS fans, Meek Mill's there.
And that's exactly.
For people who don't like to move their neck, right? Fans of guys who don't move their neck. Peyton Manning's there. You know what I mean? He's very stiff, dude.
Yeah, yeah. You know how that's a large demo.
You don't realize
the non-neck movers.
Yeah. I just love guys that turn the whole body, you know?
Okay, but with precise accuracy. No, it is kind of amazing. But just it kind of just says that, you know, when it comes to soccer, when it comes to all these worlds, hip-hop, this is why this show exists, right? Like to kind of merge all these.
You know who wasn't there? The commissioner of the Premier League. Okay.
Hey, why
wasn't
dog?
There?
I thought you were supposed to be the biggest league right? in the world.
Oh, $1 billion TV deal. Were you too busy to hang out with Meek Mill?
Oh, you didn't get invited to the Super Bowl, my guy. Oh, bummer.
Wow.
Hey, you know, it's just,
some of us can't. I guess one day maybe if you keep trying.
Try best one that you get there. Anyway, so let's talk about some news. This was a bit of a shock. Obviously, people are aware of what's going on in China with the coronavirus.
That's right.
There's a lot of terrible jokes.
Pronounce it correctly, the coronavirus.
There's a lot of terrible jokes on Facebook.
About limes, getting prepared for coronavirus.
Okay,
we get it.
Your uncles are ruining Facebook with these terrible jokes. But this, obviously, it's a very serious issue. And
I think the death toll is up to 425 at the time of recording this. So pretty serious.
Yeah. It's a cause for concern. But this it's also affecting soccer. And now it's a national emergency.
Now we worry about it. Okay? Because before it was this cute little disease thinning the herd. But now it's intruding on what we like.
How dare you?
Ew.
Mr. or Miss Plague?
Yeah.
Do not do this. No, it's affecting the Chinese Super League.
That's obviously right.
There's a lot of players, big time players. Players that do play in the Premier League. Some just to read
they
off.
They used to play in the Premier League.
League, obviously. Yes. Marouane Fellaini, right. Everton, Manchester United legend. Marko Arnautović, Paulinho, Moussa Dembele.
Moussa Dembele is the question?
You know which one. Yeah. Whichever one you're thinking of.
Sorry, hold on. Let's spin the Moussa Dembele wheel and see which one we land on.
Hey, you won! also, Obafemi Martins is still
there.
Seattle
still
South.
Playing.
Still playing out there. He's a legend, dude. Not a great dude. So they postponed.
Players are trying to get out of it.
Yeah, so they postponed the league, and now a lot of the players are reaching out to their agents like, yo. I know last year I begged you to get me a big-time deal out here.
I talked greasy last year, right? But right now I'm like, what's up with all that TAM? I'd love to go to the U.S.
I'm interested in the MLS financial structure.
Have you heard of Vancouver Whitecaps?
Okay.
I've been a fan of theirs my entire life. And I did this China thing. It's whatever. I would love to be a DP.
Oh, I'm not allowed to fly in or fly out of China right at the moment?
Well, I will drive to Russia.
No, this is pretty wild. I've never really seen anything like this where a league has just been completely just stopped, you know?
Everything is stopped. I think Hyundai stopped their factories in Korea because they couldn't get parts.
They're forced to stay home. They have like a lockdown. And this is like this really interesting.
It's like everyone had the infection I had in my ankle. Did I update you guys on that? It was an infection.
He had the coronavirus in his ankle.
I got SARS in my ankle, dude.
You hate it when it happens.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us. How sedate am I that my muscles are now getting infections? That's how little I exercise. I showed the podiatrist. Remember the podiatrist who took the crystal out of my foot? He was like, you could leave it in there. People walk around with bullets in them. And I'm like, I should not be going to you,
but
sir.
That's the problem. He sounds like that. Your podiatrist has that voice.
No, 100%. 100%. And if you knew his last name, it's exactly what you would expect. A guy like, there's a lot of vowels in it.
It's Dr. Gubalini.
Dr. Capicola, please pronounce the gabagool. Dr. Not- Capicola was my father. I'm Mr. Spaghetti Gabagool. This is racist now. I said it in my head before I said it aloud, and it made me upset, and I know my wife's going to hear this and get so mad, because I think her uncle is called Spaghetti Gabagool. call me Spaghetti. I don't like the mister. So I show him my foot, and he goes, well, it's not gout. I'm like, why does everyone think it's gout? And he goes, well, he's like, whatever, the part that's swollen, if that's the tendon that would have snapped, he's like, not only would you have heard it snap, but you wouldn't be able to put any weight on your foot whatsoever, and you walked in here. I go, so then what else could it be? He goes, it's an infection. I was like, are you even trying? Like, you just want to get me out of here. He's like, it's red, it's swollen, it's hot to touch, it's an infection. I go, an infection could swell your ankle and hurt your muscles. He goes, yeah, if you don't deal with it in a week. And I was like, oh. Well,
yeah, that's
that's that pain I had for a week.
Yeah, yeah, that's typical Alexis, how deals with any problem. Yeah, yeah, you know.
I lean on it harder.
Then I worry about it in a fortnight.
Yeah, like when my neck hurt once when I was a kid, I'll sleep on the way in which it hurts. And then I woke up and it didn't hurt no more. So,
well,
health insurance by the Guerreros family.
The Chinese Super League.
Yeah, they got their own ankle infection.
They have their own issues. But this is what one thing I did hear, that the country's on basically lockdown, and certain provinces are on lockdown, that people are now, they're staying home and they're like kind of like have cabin fever. And they have the way they're helping with people. They have like there's a hospital that was being built. Like they have like webcams. So why like the country is trying to help people who are stuck at home
that are bored,
that are just bored. Yeah,
dude, can one of our fans translate our show into Cantonese? This will be huge for us. How do you say,
we get fubo?
How do you say Dr. Spaghetti Gabagool in Cantonese?
We need to get fubo in China immediately.
Yo.
Okay.
Fubo.co.ch. What's the China one?
Because this is a missed opportunity. Yeah.
To our great leader, Mr. Xi Jinping. Please allow fubo.
Okay. We do not denigrate the Supreme Leader.
No, of course not.
He would never on this program.
My mother just threw something at the TV that I just called a communist the great leader. Shouts to Cuba.
Oh, my God.
When did this become a soccer show? Right? Like, I mean, like, at some point. Now, yeah, we were supposed to talk national
now
teams.
Now we're talking
well.
That. Yes, the men's national team also played.
That's right. The United States men's national soccer team of the Republic of China.
The enemy of.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to do numbers in China, dog.
We got to get the fan base up over there. No, men's national team beat Costa Rica 1-0.
That's right.
From a penalty from,
which is huge because Costa Rica had like their full team in, and we had a bunch of kids in there.
I wouldn't say a full team, but
one of them was a stroller. I mean, out there.
But this is the team that hopefully will make it into and qualify for the Olympics,
because
that's coming up very soon. But on the women's side,
right? You're seeing Ulianes, who made his first cap for the men's national team. Look great.
Yeah, look
got
great.
The penalty. Let's go.
The kids are all right. They're doing well.
The kids doing all right. That's the Cooligans version.
And right then the women's national team also played last night.
Have they played yet? They've sparred a couple times.
They're destroying all the competition. I mean, every time we see this, and we saw it against some of the teams in the World Cup, mm-hmm. CONCACAF has, they have a long way to go. Obviously, there's not really, I mean, Canada's the closest. But
this is also a problem, because when we face some of the big European countries, they're much, much better.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we're playing a lot of countries and we're beating them 5-6-7-0.
Yeah.
Right. And then you go and play France and it's a harder match. So I don't know.
But still, I mean, the women's national team, like, it's nothing. That was the talking point at the World Cup.
It's going to be talking point for a while.
But they're still very, very good. And they're incredibly, incredibly dominant.
Shout out to Ali Krieger,
Kristen Press. I mean, just embarrassing folks out there, man. It's looking good. So you're excited.
You'll love to see it.
Hopefully both national teams make it into the Olympics, and it'll be another exciting summer of soccer.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring in real quick with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's you. Okay.
It's you. Actually, this is about you right now. I see you driving.
We see you on the subway.
Well, yo, we're right behind you, dog.
Yes, Gully Squad. Thank you, Gully Squad. It's been the last couple weeks have been incredible. We got a bunch of new Gully Squad members.
But which reminds us, please send us your address. We want to send you the pins.
That's right.
We want to bring you into the Slack channel. I mean, there's so much great conversation happening. One of the channels was created by the fans. They sent me pictures of pizza, and I tell them exactly how it's trash. I break it down. Science.
This is better than sexting for Alexis.
100%. Right? Actually, this is. My wife is wild jealous of you guys.
This is like infidelity.
My wife's like, who's this bitch send you a picture of this pizza?
It's just pepperoni, babe.
Babe, I swear it means nothing to me.
So make sure you join, because it's an incredible community that is growing. And there's, yes, exclusive content and a bunch of cool perks.
And a video. One of the perks is a video of our roast of MLS teams.
Yes.
From the ISC.
ISC. So there's a lot of cool things available. And it's only growing. There's going to be really cool things in the future. And it's only going to be for this exclusive group. So make sure you go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button. It is at the top. It is at the bottom. So you cannot miss it. We have to get to one of our interviews that we did in Baltimore.
This was so much fun.
We had a great time at the United Soccer Coaches Convention.
That's right. We didn't just get infections. Right, at Baltimore.
Even though that was our main focus. Right?
We checked it off the list, top priority. People are like, go get crabs. I'm like, no, we don't get a different infection.
Okay, I think you're breaking HIPAA compliance asking all these questions.
Okay, sir. Is you my doctor? Because no, I don't see any red sauce stains on your shirt.
We had a great chat with David Copeland-Smith of Beast Mode Soccer. And if you don't know Beast Mode Soccer,
Instagram accounts
and Twitter accounts that just always posting really cool like soccer training videos and tricks and stuff like that.
He does an incredible job training Alex Morgan right now, who is what, 6 months pregnant at the time that we recorded this?
Yeah.
And still banging in top bins, dude.
It's wild. So we had a great conversation with him. So here is our conversation with David Copeland Smith at the United Soccer Coaches Convention.
Welcome to US Soccer Coaches Convention. We're doing another interview here. And oh my God, this one is amazing. I mean, this is.
Yeah. We're excited. Beast Mode himself, not Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. Why don't you do this intro?
Can't talk about that. That's an ongoing legal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, apologize.
Well, should we cut that?
No, it's fine.
No, it's good. It's good.
Okay. Why don't you do the intro? I can do all the intros. Why don't you get this?
I'm excited because we've watched your videos for years. There's a very popular trend of soccer training videos that are always like intense.
You mean there's a trend of people biting him?
That's what it apparently is.
I didn't say it, but you're not wrong.
Yeah, come on now.
So we're excited to welcome our next guest, Copeland Smith of Beast Mode Soccer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
You can hear the applause. We'll add it in post.
I've actually heard such good things about both of you because we got a lot of mutual people.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody says you're good guys. I watched your stuff. I didn't buy it. I was like, nah.
This is what I like.
Look,
heavy roast.
I appreciate the skepticism.
Yeah. I was like, American humor.
Sorry, he's English. It's a Sunday roast.
Right. Hey, I was like, you know, the only funny American is Dave Chappelle. So.
Yeah.
the only one.
Ready to add to the list. Oh, I'm sorry, did we invent stand-up comedy? And when England catches up in 10 years, it's going to be even better out there. Don't you worry. So
we're always playing. Catch up.
Why do what you do? Why did you start putting videos online? Because when you did, it wasn't the industry. We're also awesome. You know, it's not just
know as awesome as me. Yeah. They're okay.
He got fans. Go ahead, Smith.
When you started, like, why would you put stuff? Because, like, comedians putting stuff online, at one time it was like, why don't put it there? Yeah. They should come see you. They should come pay to see you. You took the other route. You're like, I'm going to give it to them. What got you there?
Yeah, so... I mean, there's a whole story about it, but for social media, I'm aware that not everyone can afford private training or we've got apps, we've got an app and we've got other paid programs. I'm aware that not everybody has that money and I feel like everybody should have access to good content. So we put enough content out there that people can create their own development plans.
Yeah.
And, you might say, I'm a modern day Mother Teresa with soccer.
I was just about to.
You took the words out of my mouth.
You know, some people wouldn't connect those two, but we would have, you know? Hey,
Catholic school.
Yeah. So, I went to that too.
So, you know? So tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up in Los Angeles and where you're originally from.
We know I ended up in Los Angeles from England. Huh? Okay.
Are you guys immigration officers? I've asked you legally, you have to answer.
No, we're immigrants. Okay, good. So you're in good hands.
Oh, so I came to America in 2003, just a little poor boy from Plymouth, England, with a bag of clothes.
Yeah, a newsboy hat.
A bag of clothes and a dream in my hand.
Yeah.
And
What's that thing called? A bindle? What's the stick with the bag?
Like Oliver Twist or something.
Man, so, have some more. They're like, dude, it's a salad bar. Have as much as you want. I don't know why you're asking.
Yeah, I didn't even tell you I was vegan.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Salad jokes. Yeah. And I moved to Tampa, Florida.
Sorry to hear that.
You know, I actually love Tampa. Everyone rags on it. But Tampa's not really Florida. But Tampa's like, it's good people in Tampa.
Yeah.
You know, like,
shots at Florida. What did you come here for? Was it to play like at university or?
No, I was working for Major League Soccer camps.
Okay.
Who paid me what they thought was a very fair $120 a week.
Wow.
But they sold the experience.
Yeah.
Cool.
In New York, they say, well, we can't give you a money. We give you a family.
Same thing.
Yeah.
And I met a girl who wanted to move to California. I was coaching teams there, and I kind of fell out of love with coaching teams when I was there. So I moved to California. I only wanted to do technical training, but I was poor.
Yeah.
So I had to get a job. And I feel like now I can be like very honest with this story because I was undocumented at the time.
Yeah.
Because I overstayed my visa, which is, if you ever see me on Twitter and stuff, so I'm very pro-immigrant.
Yeah.
Because although I'm, you know, white.
Right.
I noticed that. That was the first thing I noticed, to be
overwhelmingly
honest.
But I know, you know, I know what that process is. And it sucks. So I traveled across. This is actually the very first time I'll ever tell this story publicly.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So we traveled across. I made a decision to only do technical. So we traveled across, me and this girl. We drove across I-10. Right?
Okay, so
right
you drove across, from Tampa.
Yeah, I was scared to fly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I only had my British passport, which now with Brexit, it's even more worthless.
You're right.
So that I don't know anything about Brexit if anyone wants to come in.
It's wallpaper for you now, right? Yeah.
And it's funny, like we were driving, we got all the way through Texas, biggest state ever. And you come around a corner in El Paso, and it's an immigration checkpoint. I've got an Arsenal jersey on.
Yeah.
Arsenal baseball cap, and I'm playing FIFA on the PSP. Couldn't look more English.
Yeah.
You know, you can't stop.
Fish and chips in your hand. Yeah. You're like, come on, man.
You literally can't stop because if you stop, they know.
Yeah.
Right? That's why they put it on the corner. So she, the young woman is like, what should we do? And I'm like, we've got to carry on. So immigration checkpoint, and they wind the window down and she's driving and they like ask her all the questions they ask. You know, you citizen, yep. I check a license or whatever. I'm just like,
yeah. Right, yeah.
And they look over and they say, what about you, sir? Are you a citizen? And I went, sure I am, sir. Yeah. And this is when I knew I was meant to be in America because he didn't ask for my license. He just said, all right, you guys have a great day. And we drove on and she's like, shall I stop? I'm like, not yet. So we drove on like 5 miles and I got out of the car and just let my anxiety out. And then I landed in L.A.
And then became the best known actor ever because that was an impressive performance.
Yeah, for sure. Hell of an accent, by the way.
This is a true story, by the way. Al Pacino once told me I'd be a great actor. And I looked at him and went, actors are a bit weird, aren't they, Al? Couldn't catch the words as they came out of my mouth. And he looked at me and went, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
And I was like, why did you just say that, David?
All these English are taking our American actor jobs. You know what I'm saying?
Because you can do our accent, but we refuse to do your accent.
It's because I'm, you know, I just feel like we're very good at being American. You know,
I think it's because American culture was so prominent in
hey
England
guys,
for so long.
You guys, want to go play some soccer?
Yeah,
come on, guys, let's go kick a ball.
Why is it a beta?
This in Europe?
Why is the accent always a beta?
they do this in Europe, guys. I love Europe. Let's go play some soccer.
It's a scared kid trying to get friends.
Oh my god, go! I heard they say that in Mexico.
Amazing.
So I got a job at a high school. And I worked there as JV high school coach. And one of the kids on the first day hated me because I made her pick all the stuff up. And even though she was a senior, I told her it was just glorified bullying, getting the freshmen to do it, that she should lead by example. Her parents tried to get me fired. And then like 3 months into the season, she's on the varsity team. But I catch her watching my sessions all the time. And I feel like she's just messing with me.
Yeah.
Like, her and her crew are like,
the mean girls, soccer.
I think I'm going to get beat up by these girls.
And I'm like, oh, what are they? Why are they messing with me? And she came up to me. She's like, oh, can I talk to you? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, I've got an opportunity to play for New Zealand. And I said, well, clearly with that broad Kiwi accent,
you know,
kids from Pacific Palisades in LA.
Yeah.
And she's like, my dad's in New Zealand.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm a Kiwi.
I don't even know where it is.
Yeah.
But I can play for New Zealand. Yeah. So my dad's like full on Kiwi. So I asked her a few questions and I said, look, I don't like you. And she didn't like me. I said, I'll train you, but you've got to do exactly what I tell you to do. And she did. And she went on to do good things. She went to Stanford this year. If she's fit, she'll play in her fourth Olympics.
Oh,
that's
man.
Where it all kind of started. So, like, with...
And that girl is Rosie White.
I actually trained Rosie.
Oh, yeah. We met her in Chicago when she was with the Red Stars. We did a show with
so
her.
So, this was Ali Riley.
Okay.
Who played at Stanny, and she was roommates with Kelly O'Hara. So I trained Kelly and all them, and it all came to fruition, and it's just steamrolled since then. And it's crazy because I look back at Alex, it's almost been 10 years I've been training Alex.
Alex Morgan.
Yeah. And I'm like,
first name basis.
but I'm like,
this guy's dialed in.
I'm like, they're all aging, but I stay the same. It's weird. Very
That's
weird.
That's because English dudes are become 40 years old at 16, and then you just stay 40 forever. Look at Rooney. That kid was 17, and then next year he was 45, and he's been that forever.
And you've coached, you've trained so many players. Any particular notable ones like that you can fire off? How many notable players have you worked with?
Yeah, what should we title
this
video?
Resume? What's the biggest thing? Come on, SEO. We need
So the one that people obviously know is Alex Morgan.
And now before you continue, just today I just saw the video of you're training Alex Morgan as she's, I believe, 5 or 6 months pregnant. Yeah. It's incredible. I didn't even look at the comments because I know Sidney LaRue dealt with it and all this negativity. It's obviously clearly a safe decision and doctors are involved.
Well, the funny thing is always from men.
Interesting.
Hey, she shouldn't be doing that, right?
The baby's bouncing around.
Yeah. No, you can't because the umbilical cord might get twisted from the turning. You know, it's like, what do you watch? 3 episodes of Cosby Show?
But honestly, like, I like to put things up of Alex because I feel like the world needs to see her work.
Yeah.
Because for so long, and Alex has always been the same with work ethic wise, like, she's a badass.
Yeah.
And she's relentless. And just
the video itself, she's banging them in top bins, pregnant. It's incredible.
And she's been doing that with me for so long. And a couple of years ago, I felt like that she didn't really get those props because she doesn't put it up herself.
Sure.
Right.
Right? Which is, you know, she doesn't feel the need to put, you know, grind porn out there. Look at me.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, you know, other players do it and it's fantastic. And I actually think it's quite inspirational.
Never heard the term grind porn, but yeah, it's not my new favorite term.
Yeah. As soon as you said it, I was like, what exactly are okay. we talking about?
Hey, stop this interview because I got to look something up.
Yeah. Hold up. Can someone get me an incognito browser? But when you... So you're training, let's say Alex Morgan, right? And a young kid comes up to you and says, yo, I want to be a star. I want to be a top striker. I want to score goals. I want to win World Cups. I want to be just like Alex Morgan. You're not talking to the kid. You're talking to us now. What is it that makes her separate? What is that gap? What makes her a star? Can people achieve that simply by working hard?
Alex's difference maker, and this is a lot of the players that I work with, she's never happy with it. So an example would be, you just win the World Cup and there's a whole party afterward and Batty was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I go up and I'm obviously, you know, congratulations. She's like, right, Olympics next. That's the difference. Like, she's always...
Just never enough. Never enough.
It's like a shark. You stop swimming, you drown.
Exactly. So I would say that's the game changer with her, but not just her. Like I work with a bunch of players like Ali Long, we mentioned. Mm-hmm. Ali's the same way. Rachel Daly, like the list, like Abby Wambach when she was playing. And it's just the little gaps that they want to close where a lot of players are happy where they are because they're good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Players like Al and Rach, they know they're good enough, but they also know there's a little bit more they can get.
Right.
And if they can just get those few centimeters extra, that could be another two goals in a season.
Yeah.
That could be another three assists. And it's honestly refreshing to be around. I love working with Alex because it pushes me to be good. Because I can't go there and have a 6 months... pregnant Alex and I can't let her down.
Yeah,
I have to be good. And you know, Kelly O'Hara is another one who will tell me if it's not very good.
Right.
You know, she's quite mean with it and hurts my feelings a little bit. Yeah, to be honest. Yeah. And Rach does the same thing, but Rach does it in that horrible Northern English accent. Dude, this is shit. Yeah. And you're like, thanks. I spent an hour designing this last night.
Yeah, and they don't pronounce consonants.
Oh, they don't even. They can't even spell it.
Yeah, they're like consonant. I come from Europe. No, it's a different.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're from the north of England.
Yeah,
I don't think you've ever been in Europe. That's really mean.
I'm curious about what separates Beast Mode Soccer and that program. You know, the one I watch you a lot. I watch Eddie Johnson. Out in Florida as well, and he posts a lot of videos with you know 6-7 year olds that are doing just unbelievable
barking at him.
But just doing unbelievable work. What separates your regiment from why do people go to you in particular?
Results.
Okay.
Honestly,
also personality, right? Fun guy to talk to.
Well, you know, different trainers have different things, right? I'm not a barker. You know, I'm not screaming and yelling at you. I'm not trying to motivate you because, quite frankly, if you're not motivated, I don't want you here.
Okay.
Let's be honest. If they can afford you, you're pretty motivated. You know what I mean? You got here, didn't you?
You're like, listen, mom and dad are paying, so you best be motivated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's you know, we've all got different styles. What I do gets results. And what other people play probably gets results for them. But I don't want to be a shouter. I've got enough stress in my life.
Play jazz music as you're training. Everybody relax.
No, it's NPR.
Yeah.
Just take some CBD before you take shots.
Yeah, yeah. We got some CBD lotion in the shower.
From neck and
neck. Yeah.
Maybe that's lotion I need.
Yeah, yeah.
But with what we do is details. Very, very much details. Every session we do, Alex is a 9, Rachel's a 9, they'll be completely different sessions.
Okay.
Because they're completely different players, they need to work on completely different things. Like, the stuff we put on social is quite generic. And I always put, make this your own.
Yeah.
Don't just copy it. So I would say details, and quite frankly, everyone copies everything we do, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it works. it'd be nice if you could at me and give me some credit now.
That'd be lovely. Yeah,
dude. But that's cool as well.
Inspire me, dude. Hell yeah.
But yeah, I'll take details.
Okay, that's fair.
I have a good question. All right, so Christian and I, two very different athletically.
Yeah.
Right?
Both gifted in our own way.
In our own way. Very specific way for me. What first step in order for someone in their 30s to get in the league, right, in the shape we're in? If you looked at us, if we had all the money in the world, we came to you and we said, here, make us into a star, you're going to have two different answers, right? What? How long would it take for us to be at least at a level where we could stay on a field with a pro player? Not a top player, just a pro player.
I'd probably close the door.
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends. Do you want to play with them or do you just want to train with them?
I just want to stay on the field.
Because I can stick
them in goal. Yeah. As I cry, as they pelt shots at me.
Honestly, like realistically, not going to happen.
Yeah.
But you can get in ridiculous shape doing what we do, right?
I hope my wife doesn't hear that part. She's like, see?
You should order a Peloton.
Yeah. I'll order her one. Just like a commercial. Yeah,
I've got one coming on Tuesday.
Yeah?
Thank you to my friend Spencer for hooking that up.
Okay, Spencer.
And, Spence FC?
Spencer Wadsworth from Wasserman.
We could use three.
Yo, Spence. Hook it up.
So, you know, it's... You could get shredded in 3 months. Absolutely.
No, I could get shredded pork.
Copeland, please. We didn't bring you on here to lie to this man. No, okay.
How dare you?
I could give you a diet plan right now. You could lose 40 pounds in a month and a half.
A lot of it will be just from the crying of reading the diet plan.
Most of it.
Yeah.
Because there'd be no eating bad food.
Yeah.
Why do they make good food taste so bad?
Yeah.
Why can't lettuce taste like donuts?
Tell me about it. That's why you know McDonald's adds MSG to the lettuce so that you want to eat it. Yeah. Let's just do that, yo. Well,
brilliant like move. Thank you, McDonald's.
Hell yeah, yo. Shouts to Mickey D's.
Well, thank you for not only just, bestowing us with your magic skills, but we got to learn a lot about you, Copeland.
Thank you guys.
And also, you do more on camera, and I'm like, you're incredible. You have a great personality. What are you doing?
It's
like a player who doesn't want to play. Imagine Alex Morgan didn't want to play in the Olympics. That's what you're doing right now.
You sound like my mom, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, your mom got a deep voice, dog.
Hey, I'm trying to get out there more.
You know? Do it.
All right. It's just at Beast Mode Soccer on everything.
Beast Mode Soccer on everything, apart from TikTok, because someone took it.
Oh, no.
I don't even remember what the TikTok is, because TikTok's just dancing, and I can't figure that out.
I can't wait to see you lip-syncing
Taylor Swift songs.
In your bedroom.
I don't need lipstick, dog. Yeah. I'm a rapper.
Okay.
That's right. Kids got bars, dog.
Yeah, you don't even know. You know what I'm saying?
Colin, thank
straight
you
off the streets of Plymouth, England, bro.
Bruv, all right.
PO2.
Thank you so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate it.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring in with another word from another one of our sponsors, On the Volley Apparel.
On the Volley Apparel, if you want to get Cooligan's merchandise.
That's right. Yo, you want to look dope?
All right. You want to get a hat?
I'm wearing a Cooligan's hat right now. It says Stay Gully in the back, and it just so happens to remind you of my t-shirt.
The Gulliest.
It says Gulliest.
Exactly. So the Gully and Gulliest are covered. We're trying to get all the adjectives out there.
Yeah.
So go to onthevolleyapparel.com, and if you use the promo code Cooligan's for anything.
What's going to happen?
For anything. So I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get 20% off your entire order.
Wow, the whole thing?
The whole thing.
So, yo, you could get clothes from the rest of the On the Volley Apparel catalog and all the Cooligan's merch, and you're going to get 20% off just because you put in Cooligan's?
Yeah, that's what I said, Alexis.
Wow, that's crazy. I should pay attention to these ads more often.
So, go do it. onthevolleyapparel.com/Cooligan's, and also use the promo code Cooligan's. But no, we have a lot to get to today, especially with our first guest.
So happy to have him on.
I mean, a dear friend.
Yeah.
Right?
you said it like you didn't believe it.
You said it like you didn't even think it was a possibility.
No, I mean, does he like us? Who knows?
No, a writer for The Athletic. I mean, he's covered American soccer for years in a lot of different publications.
This is the guy.
This is the
MLS.
Guy. When it comes to, this is how I always introduce Paul. I say, the Adam Schefter of soccer.
Right. This is how I introduced Paul. I said, yo, when GMs get hired, they reach out to him and go, yo, what are we supposed to do with all this tan?
That's basically it. So please introduce our guest, Alexis.
So you've already said it, writer for The Athletic, one of our favorite people in MLS soccer. Unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Paul Tenorio!
Hey, Paul, how's it going, man?
What's up, fellas? I appreciate that introduction. I mean, how can I can't even top that. I can't even introduce myself that well.
How can you?
Buddy, your presence enough.
Just put your resume to the camera, okay? So everybody knows.
You got one of those resumes that folds out.
Yeah, so let's start by just introducing you to people who may not know who you are. You do write for The Athletic, but what do you do, Paul?
Yeah, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I try to cover American soccer in totality. So everything from Major League Soccer to the U.S. national team, USL and the lower divisions. And, I try to keep my fingers on the pulse of what's happening in the transfer windows and all the MLS rules, TAM, GAM, and discovery lists, all that garbage. And and then try to tell good stories as well. So most people like the TAM and GAM stuff more than the stories. So I just try to do as much of that as I can.
We're like little raccoons rifling through that little trash.
Yeah,
okay?
Man, we're going through all that trash. we got diseases, Paul.
We want them. How does that, I'm curious about just your doing this particular job, because there really aren't many people on the planet that have the knowledge that you do, whether you want it or not. There aren't many people that are aware of American soccer and aware of especially MLS in particular, to the degree that you do. What is it like being you, everyone reaching out to you? I'm sure there's so many people.
Like MLS omnipotence.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a life goal to be like an expert in things that no one else cares about or knows about. You know who the best is? It's like, unfortunately, like my father-in-law reads my stuff on The Athletic, and I just feel so bad for him trying to sort through that stuff. I mean, it's been interesting because what it does is it changes the conversations with general managers and coaches and sources, because I am able to understand some of the stuff that they work with day to day. And that's really helped me to cover the league in a way that not a lot of people cover it. If you cover Major League Baseball or the NBA or NFL, you can go and look at all the available contract information. Everything's out there. It's pretty clear how teams put rosters together. And we see that coverage all over the place. And MLS, not all that information is out there. The rules are convoluted. And so it's a little bit more difficult to go in depth into how rosters are built, how teams are put together. And, that's kind of my forte. So in a way, it's allowed me to become one of the top reporters covering MLS, because I'm able to get into those conversations with GMs and understand their mindset and their thinking behind pretty much every roster rule or trade. And so that's been a really useful tool for me. And then what I've learned is actually there are a lot of people who love, kind of the idea of learning roster rules, how to put a team together. I mean, it's what we've seen with all the different games that have come out around soccer and being a general manager. It's the same audience that's existing with all the analytics people in baseball that's kind of built out of the readership there as well. So it's kind of worked out nicely that I happen to love like the dorkiest side of an already dorky beat.
It's like all like those GMs are like the people who play Dungeons and Dragons. You know what I mean? They like build their own world. Like, you can't do that. You're a pawn or whatever. And like now they're right. Perfect.
And
for
I'm on the outside, like taking notes about the Dungeons and Dragons movie. You know what I mean?
Could you're like, oh, Steve did this with a 16-sided die.
Could you theoretically? Could you run a team? Could you, or I don't know, maybe even put together a team, or maybe be a team president? Could you understand the financials of how players are paid? Do you think you could actually run a team?
I think that, I feel confident that I could step into a front office.
Keep in mind Colorado last year, so go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, look, the real thing, I mean, everyone that looks around the league knows that, there are some people who have jobs and aren't very good at their jobs building rosters. I think I could step into a front office and help. The problem is, I know as much as I can know publicly, but there's a lot of stuff MLS keeps behind the scenes that I don't know about. So I think it would be difficult for anyone to step in right away and just know the rules. I mean, we've seen that with some of these foreign GMs that have come in who have been very successful in Europe, and it takes them a year or two to kind of figure out what to do. But yeah, I mean, I think I have confidence that I could step into a front office and be successful. But you know, that's all just like, I'm sure if a GM heard me say that right now, they're probably kicking back in their chair laughing about it, because you only know what you know. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
But it is insane that you're like on the cutting edge and on the cusp of all this information. Like when new information comes out, like a youth transfer fund, like when that was rumored, I don't even know if that went through. Every time something like that comes out, are you like, get going, you know, I got to know about this too.
Yeah. Luckily I find out about it before it happens. Like the youth transfer fund, which they ended up killing because of the CBA. They didn't want to introduce a new pot of money before these current CBA negotiations that are happening. But yeah, you're just like, how the heck, why are we adding more things to learn? You know? But you know what? I get some relief in the sense that like GMs say that to me too. Like they're not like cheering for the youth transfer fund and for new rules to come in. They're like, oh man, I got to learn this new thing. You know, yeah, I got to learn how to this allocation money.
Well, you're adding another algebra problem to you're already difficult.
Don't get the kid from Goodwill Hunting. We can't do this. Paul, you mentioned the CBA just before. Apparently there's an extension now, talks where that they were supposed to have either figured it out or maybe a strike January 31st. Obviously that didn't happen. What could you tell us about where it is now? What do you expect to see? Is the single entity gone? What's happening, Paul?
No, single entity is not gone as much as some people might want it to be gone. No, I think talks have been positive overall, you know, compared to the last CBA negotiations in 2015 that I felt were, you know, were really tenuous all the way till 48 hours before the first game of that season. It felt like there was going to be a strike. There actually was a vote to strike. And then they were able to use an arbitrator, government arbitrator, to avoid that strike. This time around, I haven't heard anything beyond the prepared to strike. Talks haven't been that negative or pessimistic to this point. I think there's a belief that they're pretty close on some key issues. Now, I don't know how much things are going to change drastically within the salary cap structure. I don't really anticipate that happening. And a big part of the reason why is the players aren't really pushing for that right now. I think players really want change in player rights, movement, free agency, an expansion of, you know, kind of basic insurance and things like that, as well as, you know, I think an ability to different types of player movement. So there's the free agency side of it where they want that to expand. Right now it's 28 and 8. They want to move that down somewhere. They want to kind of get rid of the leverage that teams have with contracts where you can make bona fide offers and hold on to player rights in perpetuity. Those types of things are much more important. Increase in the senior minimum salary and the reserve minimum salary. We saw that go up significantly in the last CBA. So those are the things the players are focused on. And as a result, I'm not anticipating huge changes in the way the league operates its salary cap.
How, as far as, especially when it comes to salaries and when it comes to how much owners are investing into their roster, right? It feels like this CBA negotiation feels a little different than definitely the last one, given the expansion fees, right? We see how much the league is bringing in
how valuable the teams are now.
Yeah. We see how much money is coming in. So MLS can't, you know, use the same excuse of like, we're not profitable, right? Like, I know there was just an article Felipe Cardenas released it, I think either this morning or yesterday, about how Arthur Blank was just saying like, hey, no, we're doing pretty good.
He's we all making money, baby.
we're all crushing it. So it feels like that the players have a little bit more leverage than before. Do you get that sense at all?
Yeah, I think Blink's comments to Felipe certainly didn't help the cause of the league in these negotiations. I'm sure he got a call from Don Garber. But yeah, I think the players are definitely aware. I mean, the league hands over its financials to the players as part of these negotiations. So they're definitely aware of what the league has and how much money they're losing. But it's really easy to move money around to different things and put all of your losses in the teams, keep the profits and the revenue from Soccer United Marketing separate. You know, a lot of owners are writing off the losses in the league. How are they counting investments in training facilities and stadiums? Are those put down as losses when realistically those aren't losses? That's the way that the league is able to point and say, hey, we're not making a ton of money. Now, all of that being said, you know, they are still well short of the major revenue streams that we see in other professional sports, both here and abroad, and that's in the television money. So I think that gives the league some leverage. What they're saying to the players is, until we see that TV money go up in a couple years, and how much it goes up, they're not sure, we're not going to commit to crazy spending. And the question is going to be, what do the players try to put in as a protection if that revenue does go up drastically? You know, can they put a clause in the CBA that says that the percentage between revenue to how much money is in the salary cap jumps with whatever that percentage goes up in revenue? Do they put in a clause where they can potentially opt out of the CBA if that revenue hits a certain number? Those are the types of things I think the players' union is thinking about. I would say in some ways that knowledge gives them a little bit more leverage, but the league still holds the vast majority of leverage in these CBA negotiations. And that's why we have to be ready for incremental change. I should say one of the bigger changes we could see that the players are really fighting for is the elimination of targeted allocation money. They don't love that the league administers that and rules who is eligible for TAM and who's not eligible for TAM. They'd rather just take that $4 million total and put it into the salary cap and let teams use it as they will. The league wants to hold on to TAM. So that's, I think, one of the big points of contention in negotiations right now.
Just for those of us who don't understand me, why is that leverage for the league? Why is TAM something that they want to keep? Like, what exactly makes it gives them leverage because they have that?
It's control. They can control what teams are doing on their rosters. And basically, when they created TAM, the idea behind it was to improve spots 4 through 8 or 9 on the roster. They didn't want TAM used to give guys already in the league raises. The intention was to improve the level of play in the league, improve the on-field product. And if they didn't essentially trust the general managers and the teams to use that money in the right way. So they said, okay, here's this money, but the conditions are X, Y, and Z, more than the senior maximum budget charge, right? Between that and $1.5 million or a million more than the budget charge. And, you know, you have to use it on players coming from abroad or for a player being bought down as a DP. So they put all these rules on it, and then they were approving and denying TAM for the first year of its existence. They love that control. Any more control that they can exert over the teams, they will. And that's the reason the league loves it. You know, they want to make sure that in their eyes, money is being used properly. Now, the problem with that is for every team, for every market, what's valuable is different. A player right in Salt Lake City is going to be different value to a player in Atlanta or LA. And so that's where it starts to become very difficult. And there were some clear inefficiencies with that idea of TAM, including the fact that a lot of teams were taking a $400,000 player from abroad and saying, you know what, we're going to pay you $600,000 because it makes better budget sense for us, because then we can buy you down with TAM instead of you being a $400,000 player on our roster. If we pay you $200,000 more and buy you down with TAM, you're $150,000. That's a market inefficiency. That's bad business for MLS. So I think there will be some changes. I don't think the league is going to win this one. But, you know, there is a clause in the CBA called the management clause. It basically gives the league power to change rules as they see fit outside of these CBA negotiations, which is how TAM came about in the first place, about a couple months after the last CBA was agreed. So I wouldn't be surprised if they relinquish some of that control with TAM and then introduce something else that gives them more control to exert on the team.
How are we still in a place where the league does not trust its general managers and its team presidents to operate a club properly, right? It seems like that we should be moving to a place where the people in those positions know what they're doing.
Or
right?
At the very least, how come, especially someone like yourself, how come we're not in a place where those GMs are leaking that information when those situations don't happen to create a bit more of a groundswell to hopefully push for that change, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we saw some of that, to be fair. I wrote about it last year when Tim Parker got denied a contract, Walker Zimmerman was being denied a contract, CJ Sapong. It wasn't a coincidence that I started to hear about those incidents. GMs were upset. The agents were upset. The players were upset. Everyone was upset. And I think the biggest counter argument you can make is this league wants to get better and it's looking for ways to get better. And you know, how can you ever get better if you're protecting the worst general managers in the league from themselves? The, what you want to have happen is there are always going to be teams that fail. That's the way sports work. And if you allow those GMs and teams to fail on their own merits, then they eventually get fired and replaced. And you hope that the next GM is better at his job. And that's how people get better. And the league really isn't allowing that to happen in some ways. Obviously, people are still getting fired and hired and all of that. But, you know, these protections put into place, they're really done more for the control from the league side than they are done to help or hurt other teams. I mean, it doesn't, there's no GM that wants the league looking over their shoulder constantly. And by the way, other leagues have these central offices that help teams, but that's all they do. They assist teams with questions. They help clarify salary budget rules, how a guy can fit under contract. They don't administer decisions about where a player falls on a roster, or they don't involve themselves in negotiations. So this league still has a long way to go in giving autonomy to the teams and the owners. And I think it's going to be a big point of contention, not just in this CBA, but in the next CBA, because they're never going to give up full control at once. And I can promise you, there are the vast majority of teams and general managers that really want to see this happen, that want to see the kind of the reins loosened from MLS HQ in New York.
Wow. So listen, stop snitching unless it's to Paul Tenorio. We're all for
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
We got. Paul, I wanted to ask a couple things, but I want to start first with there's been a lot of Liga MX players coming to Major League Soccer. Has this changed?
And Christian doesn't like it.
No, I'm more than happy about it. Yeah. We just saw, I don't know if it's confirmed that you had reported about Rodolfo Pizarro possibly going to Miami, that the deal is being sorted out. Has this changed the dynamic of your job where now all of a sudden you're going to have to call some people, general manager in Mexico? And now that it seems like the pool is sort of growing of like it's becoming, MLS is becoming much more global than ever before.
WhatsApp is a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm using it a lot more recently. I'll tell you that much. Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic that's happening, right? Between these two leagues that are trying to compete more against each other and capitalize on the strengths of each other. So for Liga MX, obviously there's a massive audience here in the United States that are watching those teams, loyal to those teams. MLS wants a piece of that pie. On the flip side, MLS is, you know, it's a really strong business. It understands how to produce events, and you know, it's got strong ties to the TV industry here. It you know, Mexico wants to capitalize on the things that MLS does well on the business side. So I don't think it's a coincidence that as these leagues study each other more and compete with each other more, we're seeing more interaction between the two. Talking to a bunch of GMs recently for a story I'm writing about this topic, you know, I asked what's been the biggest difference. Well, from the player side of it, you're coming to a league that's very stable in MLS. You know, you know when your paycheck's coming. You know that it's going to be there on time. You know that your life is going to be much calmer in the United States than it is in Mexico, both because, you know, the fans there, you know, they take things a little bit more seriously. I think the American culture, we don't really, you know, even in the most brazen moments there, you know, we leave celebrities alone pretty much. Even like if you were playing for the Lakers, if you're LeBron and you go out in a club in New York after playing the Knicks, nobody's shouting you down. Tell me if I'm wrong, guys. Maybe that's the wrong team to bring up. But like, nah, yeah. You know, for the most part, there's a calmer culture in the American kind of celebrity culture. So I think it's a much, and also you have to be able to get recognized, right? So I think that that's a big part of it. From the team side of it, I think the biggest difference has been the money that's come into Major League Soccer is different. And as a result, Liga MX has always outspent MLS and continues to outspend MLS. But players that weren't really available to MLS when it was kind of in its last variation of its spending, which was, you know, either spend big money on big names, you know, the Pirlos and the Kakas and the David Villas of the world, or you don't spend. Now we're seeing teams looking elsewhere for talent that are more in their prime. And it's really easy to go into Mexico and buy these players for prices that fit that DP model. And so you're seeing transfers for 10 million, 12 million, 8 million for players out of Mexico. It really fits the MLS model. I think a lot talking to GMs also, when they scout these leagues, they believe that successful attacking players in Mexico translate well to this league that's becoming more wide open, where the money is spent, the vast majority of money is spent on the attacking end. And so they make it, it makes it easier to project how that player is going to perform in Major League Soccer. Meanwhile, the Mexican teams are counting their money, man, because I think MLS right now is still spending a little bit above market value. And MLS, Liga MX teams are not dumb. You know, they're saying, hey, you want to pay $10 million, $15 million for this guy that we've re-rated as an $8 million player? Absolutely. Happy to offload him to you. And I think that has a lot to do with it as well.
Now, speaking, I mean, Liga MX players coming in is absolutely a wonderful thing. Turning a little bit to new teams coming into MLS, the Nashville situation, we heard positive things, and then all of a sudden, we stop hearing such positive things, and everything's kind of turned. Yes,
they're dealing with a possible, their stadium was supposed to be, construction was supposed to start.
We hear they're going to start playing at Yankee Stadium. I mean, that's how things, how rough things are going there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where we are today, and what is the actual picture? What should we really expect? Because there was a report on MLSsoccer.com that said, like, 70% of their ticket sales are season tickets, but now we're hearing they only have 5,000 season tickets. So if that's the case, ain't no one going to be at the stadium besides Atlanta United fans for their home game. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think for a while now we've been hearing reports, we've been hearing things from sources that MLS is concerned about Nashville. They're concerned about the performance of ticket sales. They're performed about their, they're scared about the readiness of the club for its transition into Major League Soccer. They're just worried that they're not ready for this ramp up that happened rather quickly on one end. And on the other end, they've had some runway to get this right. You know, it was, I think it was like 6 or 7 months ago that my colleague Pablo Mauro was hearing that there were issues with the stadium in Nashville, and we got denial after denial after denial. And now you flash forward and there's public back and forth happening between the mayor and the league, who are essentially, they're reprimanding publicly the political figures in Nashville for not tearing down a stadium and beginning construction. It's clearly problematic right now. And I think it's essentially become a public negotiation. And the goal here, I think, is to kind of galvanize the people in Nashville to try to support the team and the vote that occurred, or the vote of confidence, certainly from the politicians prior, in order to land a Major League Soccer team in the market and say, hey, look, you know, this is on you guys. The ball's in your court. We're ready to move forward as a league to build, and it's not happening. How that's going to play out, though, is a big question mark. We don't really usually see this. I think it's kind of a late tactic to try to exert pressure on a politician. And, you know, it's going to be up to that politician how he handles it. I'm interested to see this drama play out, but I certainly think that it's a red flag for this market. And it's something to keep an eye on, not just in this inaugural season, but kind of how things continue to unfold, because it is concerning. And Major League Soccer hasn't had to deal with this. If you look at the expansion teams that have come in over the last 10 years or so, it's always been a success story. It's always had this great, huge launch. Atlanta, positivity. Orlando, the crowds were amazing to start off with. Minnesota, they're on the field, they were terrible, but off the field, they performed so well. So, you know, this is a new problem for Major League Soccer, where a market that they're going into doesn't look like it's going to be an instant success off the field.
Yeah, it's funny because I've seen the Nashville, I think it was either the team or the team president or somebody, scold the mayor by offering him $19 million to settle this whole issue. So that's,
someone scold us. Listen, Paul, thank you so much for being on. You said you have an article coming out. Everyone can find you in The Athletic. Also, what are your postal, your socials, whatever you want to plug?
Just at Paul Tenorio on Twitter. And guys, I don't know if you're familiar with Mike McGee, but just know that I got a drink with Mike McGee before you guys got a drink with Mike McGee. So I'm still right here above you guys.
Good point.
We'll beat you to something.
Thank you, Paul Tenorio, for joining us. We'll be back with more after this.
What a great interview with Paul Tenorio.
You know what? I'm going to say this on camera. I love Paul Tenorio.
That's right, Paul. We're in love with you, Paul.
I know you didn't expect to find out this way. Yeah. But hey, man, this is how it is.
You didn't see it, but Christian kissed the screen you were on, dude.
don't know if you felt the tingle out there in Chicago.
It'll be in the behind the scenes documentary about the Cooligans.
In the behind the music.
But thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Thrilled about our next guest.
The guests don't stop.
It doesn't stop.
We got a revolving door of celebrities here.
our next guest. You may have seen him. Bouncing around and with the LA Galaxy a little bit,
box to box, maybe.
Okay, also the Chicago Fire. Just an absolute legend, just an important figure in Major League Soccer. Please introduce our guest, Alexis.
I can't believe he's here. Okay, I don't know why. Why are you even driving? This is too exciting. So pull over so you can put both your hands together for the one, the only, our designated player, Mike McGee. Everybody,
hey. Hey, Michael. Well,
first of all, I love Paul Tenorio too. So
look at that.
This guy is—it's a tough act to follow.
This show ain't about Paul. It's about us.
Mike McGee, this is wild. I'm absolutely thrilled that you are in this room. I'm excited. This is my first time meeting you. You hung out with Alexis in Grand Rapids, Michigan,
which is where you meet all MLS big name players in Grand Rapids. How did we both get hoodwinked into going to Grand Rapids?
I have no clue what happened there. Kyle Martino just threw some kind of spell on us. And I woke up and somehow I was in an Uber.
You drove from Chicago. You took an Uber from Chicago to Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah,
is that a 3-hour Uber?
I have no idea. I slept the night before.
You did sleep.
I'm gonna humble brag right now. Night before I got inducted in the Chicago Sports Hall of Fame.
Wow. So
I slipped that in there.
So
and you said, what do you do? And you said, instead of going to Disney World, I'm going to Grand Rapids.
So as you can imagine, I told him I couldn't make it, couldn't drive. He's like, what if I called you an Uber? I'm like, at least some part of me will show up. So I slept most of it.
He's not making this up. I remember the phone calls. They're like, you know what? If he flies, it's about the same. Blah blah blah, and I'm like, you're not thinking about putting Mike McGee.
You remember the bags under my eyes? Is what you meant to say?
You can't possibly. And they're like, don't worry, he's gonna sleep. And I'm like, well, this driver is gonna be like, you're doing what? When that came on the app, he was like, this seems broken.
Oh. Just put him in the trunk; he'll be fine.
I remember I got a phone call from Kyle Martino, and he was like, I had sort of.
And just so people know, this was for the over-under initiative. There was an event. Yeah.
But there was an event here in New York where it was, you know, he had two microphones and no one was really taking control of the second mic. So I just picked it up and started talking into it and I took control of the whole event. And I apologized to everyone afterwards. But he called me and he's like, hey, you want to host an event for real? As opposed to just stealing someone's microphone? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, all right, are you available on this day? I go, yeah. He goes, so you're committing to it. You can do it. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Where is it? He's like, you're going to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he hung up. That's how. And I'm not kidding. An email came up the next day with tickets to Grand Rapids, Michigan.
You got pranked.
Yeah.
Dude, I was like, when you grabbed the mic, I'm not going to lie, I had no faith in you. I'm like, you all of a sudden you had me dying laughing the
Thank
entire
you.
Time.
Look at that.
In the beginning, I was kind of like, what's going on here? Like, I thought I was here for the kids. And all of a sudden he's cracking jokes. And
everybody.
I didn't want to laugh. And then all of a sudden I'm
confused. Mike McGee, Alexis's wife, has no faith in it.
My mother, But wait. Here's a change. He now believes in me.
I do.
So most people just continue to disbelieve. Now we've got someone turn.
Mike, we should at least start with, huge fans of you. I mean, as when I started watching MLS and going to MLS games, I remember going to MetroStars games, early New York Red Bulls. You were that figure. You were one of these guys. I'm like, all right, he seems a little bit better than everybody else.
Yeah, he's balling out here.
What has, I guess my first question is, what do you think of the league now? Do you almost wish that you were playing in it now with all these incredible clubs and giant, giant fan bases?
It's incredible how far the league's come. I think especially since the year Bex got here, each year you could see it going up in the last 5-6 years, an insane amount. The pay makes me want to be playing right now.
I see it.
My hip tells me it's time to retire, but it's been really fun to watch the league. And the MetroStars is a good pull.
Yeah,
it's a really good pull. That's good respect.
You texted some of the other older guys like, yo, you know we would have been tanned.
You talk so much shit. Yeah. These guys are soft. Yeah, spoiled.
Four charter flights. Well, la-di-da. They're complaining about you like four. Yeah. I used to fly with one of the rookies on my lap.
not that far from the truth.
it is incredibly important. impressive. And it's like now, and you're obviously a Chicago native, and obviously play for the
you
Chicago
can hear
Fire.
The accent.
Are you? He's definitely our first MVP. Have we had another MVP on?
Besides me, no.
Okay.
I mean, this is
okay. I'm glad we sorted that out. But even you mentioning being a part of the Chicago Hall of Fame, like, what did that mean to you to be recognized to that degree?
It's cool, man. Especially since I stopped playing in 2016, and then you notice that no one really cares about you anymore. So 2 years removed or whatever it was, then getting a reward is cool. You think you're just done and forgotten about. Especially in your hometown, and my family was there and friends, so it was. It was cool, and we obviously celebrated that night, and that's when we met.
You should have seen how he showed up to Grand Rapids. You know, no one sleeps in an Uber to Grand Rapids.
I had a huge bag, and everyone's like, "Dude, you're coming for one day." I'm like, "Dude, it's a pillow and a blanket. Yeah. It's chill." So I slept the whole way.
Mike, now you watching, you know, so much happening in MLS. It's incredible, like all the different changes. When you think back to when you started and a rookie coming in now, like if you could talk to the rookies coming in this season, like what would you say the difference is between when you started and what they
got? I don't even know where to start. You know, not taking it for granted. You know, when you mentioned the Metro Stars, I remember back in those days and we had like 13 rookies and you know, we used to not see the importance of where the sport was growing. So we might have celebrated life outside of soccer a little too much and maybe not taken as seriously as we probably could have. But that, and it's, you know, it's over in a blink of an eye. I mean, you know, I played 14 years, and when the day it ended, I, you know, it seemed like it was 3 years. So
Wow.
So it happens to you quickly,
very quickly.
You one of my favorite things that and what happens in soccer Twitter, especially American soccer Twitter, is goalkeep players that have to go in goal, and yours always comes up. It's probably about 3-4 times a year. Somebody will post it, and
I watched this game live.
Okay, it's great.
I mean, I wasn't there. I was watching it on TV, but I remember watching like.
I had
the shortest dude on the field.
I had Josh Saunders' jersey on, looked like a skirt, and Donovan Ricketts' gloves. They were the first save I made. The entire glove flipped all the way around.
Yeah, so hilarious.
And so if people do not know, this was June 25th, 2011.
You were
so,
with LA Galaxy.
Yep.
And it was versus the California Clásico. It was against
the Smurfs.
I love it. Shot still fired.
And like you said, Donovan Ricketts was injured, and then Josh Saunders got a red card.
But that was the same game that Lennart headed the ball out of. And I said this to you in person. I remember he was running behind Josh Saunders, and I go, you know, it'd be cool if he headed the ball because you can't touch with your hands. And then he did it. I'm like, I might be too powerful. I wish money would fall from the sky. I swear on my life, I had that thought. And then he does it. And for some reason, they didn't give him a red card. You're not allowed to do that. But I think he got into a scuffle, and that's how Saunders gets
hurt. I think Josh might have elbowed him a little bit, and he might have made a meal of it. But the ref wasn't with us that day.
Yeah, no, Lennart was one of those beasts. He could just flop anytime he wanted. It was great. And then all of a sudden, there's no backup. Like, you can't put another one in because it was who's the first goalkeeper?
Donovan Ricketts.
Ricketts, and then all of a sudden it was Josh Saunders is out. So they're like, there was like a 30-second pause of people trying to decide what happens. What happened in that moment? How did you get the call?
I was looking at the clock, and it was like 36th minute or something. And I'm thinking, shit, I want to play goalie. Oh my God, I'll make it to half. I think I can make it 9 minutes or whatever it was. And I'm playing left mid, so I'm next to Bruce. I'm like, Bruce, who's going to play goalie? And he goes, you think I fucking know? I'm like, all right, that's me. So I walked back like I'm relaying the message to the team, and I was like, what are we doing? He's like, Bruce said I'm going in. He said Bruce said it's me. You know, he did it. And then I remember at halftime, I'm sitting there at halftime, and now I'm thinking, all right, did my job, got in, taking the gloves off.
You gave no goals up.
No goals yet.
Yeah.
Well,
and
no.
You were down a man.
We're down a man. So at halftime, I'm thinking, I'm going to get to go back out, or I'm going to go back on the field. Bruce has got some master plan.
Yeah.
And I remember it dawned on me. He's like, dude, we can't even let him shoot because they're going to score on McGee. And I'm like, wait, I got to go back, back out there.
You're like, what you mean, Gunna? Well, so does Gunna. I keep hearing.
Okay, this team talk ain't going the way I planned.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so
you're in the showers. You're like, I thought I was.
So luckily it worked out, and I'll chalk that up to another thing that while I was playing, playing. I hated it. It was just the only thing people spoke about. But now it's cool getting to relive those
yeah.
days.
I mean, as you played goalie like as a kid though, you said, right?
Uh-uh.
Never. Your first time ever playing goalkeeper was in that moment. Yeah. Wonderful.
Great yeah. planning. Bruce is a genius.
I'm starting to see what happened in Trinidad and Tobago. To be completely honest with you.
That's
gonna be
that.
Clipped out just
I
so you know. You don't call. He doesn't co-sign what I just said. But when as players, like these players that are running towards you with the ball, what's going through your head?
I had zero respect for goalies up until the first cross came in, and then there's actually one that keeps showing up on the highlight tape where I'm gonna catch it, and it's an easy cross. At the last second, I just kind of push it into the middle of the field, and it's the only one I wish they'd remove from the highlight tape. You'll know what I'm talking about. Somebody crosses it, and I just into traffic, just push it. The last second,
you're like, get it out of here, put it in this net.
Omar Gonzalez is running at me, my own guy. So I got a newfound respect for goalies after that day, for sure.
Yeah, but they must have been incredibly. Your teammates must have been proud of you after.
It was incredible. I mean, the way they rallied, and it was bizarre. Greg Berhalter and AJ, and it was kind of the turning point in our season. But the way they played, I might have made one good save at the end there, but the way they played, blocking shots and running around, and those guys must have gotten 4 days off that week because they were all dead.
Sure.
And I get all the credit for it, and I take it. I'll take the credit, but those guys.
You're like, it's because of me, boys.
Well, you guys won MLS Cup that year as well. This must have been like something that, you know, kind of motivated you guys.
It was, we celebrated again. Seems like I celebrate a lot, right?
That's all we're talking about.
Which is a good segue, into what I did after soccer.
Yeah.
But, what are we talking about now?
You won MLS Cup.
That night, we all went out and had a blast. The only time I left, I celebrated a tie. And there was definitely a turning point in a way the group came together. And we won MLS Cup. So that was
there was a part of you that was like, Bruce, put me in for the end of MLS Cup? Put me in goal for the end of it.
Never again. the amount of time somebody asked me to go in goal, never in practice, never. I will not do
You got to do it in a pickup game. It'd be hilarious. We got more with Mike when we get back.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. What an audible. Right? Very late.
We're so smooth here.
Clearly that's a false start. I remember.
Somebody threw a flag.
Welcome back. Yes, we have there's a box here that we should address, Alexis.
Absolutely. Now, this you sent us this.
I did.
We've never done an unboxing with the unboxee here.
Exactly. And he didn't even bring it with him because he just got off of a plane. But no, he brought he had the box sent here.
Which, you know, I've always wanted to do with my luggage. When you fly somewhere, just mail it first so you don't have to bring anything with you to the airport.
Alexis did tell me either bring it or don't even show up. So
okay. Maybe that happened.
Okay,
you want to put that box away?
Yeah, let's get it.
Okay, this is, okay.
All right.
Hello, boom.
So this is
what are we looking at here?
Sneaky Fox.
Terrible logo label for the TV because it's all reflective. But it says Sneaky Fox vodka. Gluten free.
Just for you, yeah.
Okay. For all the basic out there.
Yeah, it's really important to Alexis.
Can we try? I mean, we have glasses here, so we're gonna try.
Can you tell us, so Mike McGee, tell us about Sneaky Fox vodka a little bit.
Oh, my brand, it's vodka, gluten free.
This is yours.
It is mine. No, it's something I did while I was playing. I started looking into the spirits industry. I really want to do a whiskey. Omar Gonzalez, Landon Donovan, and I, we take our win bonuses and we buy like Johnny Walker, Louis XIII, too expensive of stuff, and then we'd only drink it after wins. So far,
we know there's bonuses, right? There's a lot we don't know about MLS.
They grew since I played. So when I got done playing, I wanted to make a small batch whiskey or bourbon, and obviously pivoted to doing something a little bigger and kind of been running with it.
This is this is incredible. I haven't tried it yet. I hear about it all the time, especially in Chicago. Because
could this become the thing instead of Malort?
Yeah, that's what we always
we make Sneaky Fox. Then you make people that aren't
those
from
are
Chicago
the two
shoot.
Things we always hear about. What are your thoughts on Malort?
Oh man, it's a Chicago staples, right? You know, I like it sucks. It's
your
disgusting.
Pizza stinks. Your booze stinks.
It sucks. It's disgusting. But I love it.
You have to say that.
You felt me having to say it there.
Like, I know you don't like it. No one likes it.
Yeah.
My favorite part about my Lord, as soon as you take the shot, everyone who told you to take the shot goes, "It's terrible, right? Why are you making me do this?"
Cheers. Thank you for sending us a bottle. What an honor.
Yeah, I'll put the...
Yeah, let's do it. Cheers to Sneaky Fox. All right.
What should we be tasting notes of? Paint thinner.
Oh, boy.
You guys might appreciate the reason I named it. So first time I ever drank, we'll say I was 18, for all the kids out there.
Okay, yes, still not the legal age.
What are you, Montreal? Whoa,
hold on. You'll know the rest now. So my dad caught me. My dad's a big dude. He's like 6'4". Anyways, he catches me and... you know, he calls me a sneaky fuck, and then beat the shit out of me. So,
you drank his booze.
So that's my oldest memory drinking. I think that the beating I took inspired me to play some soccer and take off drinking for a while. So I've been. This is my entry back.
Okay,
it's a great vodka, by the way. You can drink it on its own, and I guess we should probably come up with our own brand of vodka from our first memory of drinking. So instead of Sneaky Fox, I'll go with Coño tu madre, pendejo. Fox.
Okay, it reminds me of my mother.
Oh, mama. She's not dead. Just, I don't know why I need that.
The nostalgia. Yeah.
Pero que coño, vodka.
Mike, we had a question from one of our Gully Squad members. So these are like our more devoted fans. And this is a very specific thing, and I'm curious if you remember this. So this was a... U.S. Open Cup match in 2014 against the Atlanta Silverbacks. Robin Seguini, she asked, do you remember us kind of teasing you and saying mine, 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 like in Finding Nemo, but they were saying Mike, 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 and then and she remembered she thinks you got red carded soon after. Do you remember this?
I don't remember the Mike, 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 but that was the funniest red card of my life.
What happened?
I don't even know. We me and another guy came in close. And we both kind of leaned our heads in and at the same time did the fake, oh, and he gave us both the red card.
Whoa.
But the best part was, the best part was, is even after it happened, we both kind of came together like, oh, my bad. As we're apologizing, red. In the first half.
Unbelievable.
Now, it was on one of the worst fields I ever played on, so it was actually maybe a little
kind of lucky, yeah.
Kind of lucky, but...
hilarious that you both faked it so well that you both got red cards.
It was bad. The ref made a mistake, or we did. One or the other, but then we...
What do you do? Go for steak during the second half? Like, what do you and that guy do now?
He was not happy with me.
No?
I don't know. We won the game and then lost the next week to Seattle. And I couldn't play, so that was a big mistake.
All right.
So remember looking back on things you're supposed to tell the young players.
Yeah. Don't
headbutt anybody in there.
All right.
Play goalkeeper. And oh my gosh, thank you so much, Mike McGee.
Incredible, man. Absolute honor, for real.
And this isn't the Sneaky Fox booze talking. This is for real. It means so much that you were on, man.
No, thanks for having
me. Yeah, absolutely. Man. So make sure you support Sneaky Fox. Vodka,
especially if you're in Chicago, right?
Exactly. Follow Mike McGee on all social channels. Follow us at Soccer Cooligans.
And thank you to Paul Tenorio for being on the show today.
That's right. He was incredible as well. We learned a lot.
Learned a lot about MLS contracts that we've already forgotten.
Yes.
That's how confusing it is.
Yes. If Mike was here during Paul's thing, he'd be like, okay, where's all this money come from?
Damn.
I didn't see this I was playing. So thank you, Mike. Did you have a good time?
I had a blast. Yeah, honestly did.
Incredible. So, and thank you, because I know you're in town for the MLS kit reveal event. So it's an absolute honor that we got an MVP on the show.
That's right. We bring the stars here. They come here first.
Okay. And then we crash parties.
That's right. We showing up anyway. Delivery boxes dressed like UPS guys.
All right, so thank you so much for tuning in. We really, really appreciate it. So for Mike McGee, my name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!